Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Ankylosing Spondylitis Reduce Your Pain podcast. My name is Sky Denton. For those of you that are new here, welcome. For those of you that may have been following us for a year now, thank you and welcome back. This podcast is unique in the sense that it's designed to help you understand the mind-body connection. Something that is constantly either working for our health or against our health, depending on different life situations. Today's two major topics go a long way towards helping people understand the path to wellness, in my opinion. Today, we talk about medication and we talk about stress. We are understanding the body's own ability to heal, how to affect strategy into understanding how our nervous system works and how to live a better life. That's what so much of this boils down to. And today's two topics of medication and stress are really, really helpful. We talk about how medication can be a very helpful thing on our path. And in personal experience, I really did not want to be on medications. And I resisted it and resisted it and resisted it. And ultimately, with a little bit of guidance, I loosened up my resistance towards taking medication and I started to actually be grateful for it. And it became a very powerful ally in my process of reclaiming my health, rewiring my brain, and rebuilding my body. We also talk about some of the benefits of stress. And Peter introduces what is called eustress. Eustress is kind of the opposite of distress. Eustress is a positive form of anxiety or stress, right? It's a little bit, but it's not too much. It's enough to get you up in the morning and have you be productive, have you get things done, have you eat well and take care of yourself. It's this idea where you have just a little bit of pressure on yourself, but it's not too much to send you into distress. People with ankylosing spondylitis, people with chronic pain, people with all kinds of challenging life situations can be reacting in a way that's either helping them be productive, helping them get their life in order, helping them finish their projects at work, or it can become too much into the world of distress, where too much anxiety, too much stress, too much pain. Being able to navigate between all of this is something that I have learned how to do that's helped me out tremendously and helped me keep my body and my body's immune system healthy and not having the ankylosing spondylitis situation that I had in the past. I'm going to introduce Peter and let's get going. Hello again, Peter. Good afternoon, man.
Hey, Skyler. Good to see you, man. The great white hunter in the cold north. How's life?
Good. We have gotten a ton of snow. We've gotten, I think, 8 feet of snow in the last, 3 days.
8 feet? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's like my second job. It's just dealing with all the snow we're getting.
Are you snowed in?
Not snowed in. Our town in Jackson, Wyoming is well equipped to handle a lot of snow. It's fun. I play out in the winter quite a bit, so the snow's all good.
So let's get to it. What are we talking about today?
All right. So to jump right into it, Peter, I want to get your thoughts on medications. And so this comes from conversations that I know you have had, and I've also had them, where people are either really afraid to take medications, or they think that maybe taking medications is a bad thing. It means that they're not on their path to healing, or they're really afraid of side effects. And in my experience, taking medications was actually helpful. At times, it was one of the only things that allowed me to rest and relax and actually feel some pain relief. So what are your thoughts on that, Peter? Can people still heal and be on the right path and be taking some medications?
Certainly they can, and you're a testament to that example. However, it's sticky, right? It's not one size fits all, and it's not a clear cut maneuver from one end to the other to, you know, go from illness to everlasting health. But medications can certainly be a useful stopgap in that process. The situation, though, is that a lot of people get addicted or dependent on their medications. And if the medications aren't curative, in other words, if they don't lead to a cure, then that can be a problem. And people will become depressed and despondent and disempowered because they know that they're just kind of trying to cheat the system. However, you know, if you think about emergency medications, emergency medicine as it is, if you get in a car accident and you cut your head open, you go to the hospital, you want medications, right? It's a stopgap measure to stop the pain in its tracks while you're there recovering. So that's the best use of medications in all profiles, is to use it as a stopgap measure and not become dependent on it. But sometimes it can be a real lifesaver, like in your case, when you know nothing else was working for you in that moment and you needed to take something to help yourself balance and rest and, you know, get back on track. I've seen that happen with a lot of others. Even taking naproxen or, you know, some other form of NSAID can be useful, but you don't want to be dependent on them because they have side effects. So a lot of people are afraid of those side effects and therefore afraid to use the medications, and they want to look for the balance. So it's okay to use those medications if you're not dependent on them. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that's a quagmire, that's a conundrum for a lot of people to navigate, but we'll show you how. We'll lead them to the situation that works best and serves their purposes most.
Yeah, I agree with what you say. There is a fine line between using medications in a productive manner and how they can also become kind of dependent for some people. And I know that for me, you told me something one time. You said, Sky, I'm not anti-medicine. I'm pro anything that helps. And that allowed me to make an internal shift of like, okay, so what if I take some medication and then I go for a walk and it just lifts my spirit? All of a sudden, I've used it as a tool in a way that I feel like was productive and helped me get outside and move my body and get some sun on my skin instead of sit on the couch just being in pain.
Yeah, obviously a better quality of life is found through the use of these alkaloids and drugs and medications. So if you can get out and lift your spirits, that's actually a spiritual procedure. It's a spiritual process to lift your spirits, to get into nature and commune with oneness of what is. That can be very restorative and very healing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I certainly recommend that. Now, if you need the medication and you're dependent on it to lift your spirits at all, then maybe we've got a bigger fish to fry.
Sure. Yeah. And that could possibly involve some more in-depth time with a specific individual and their specific situation. I like talking about this because I know that it's something that a lot of people are struggling with, is this dependency on medications / fear of the side effects that could come from it. And people that have AS can be very heavily medicated, as you know.
Well, they often go to rheumatologists and other medical practitioners whose job it is to medicate people. Mm-hmm. So when they think that that's their only alternative and the only route of action for them to take, then yeah, they can get into those situations where they just become a customer of the pharmaceutical industry for life, you know?
Yeah.
They never really heal and they continue to degenerate over time. So it's not enough. It is useful from time to time to use medications, but to be dependent again on those medications, it's not enough.
Yeah, I remember a fun time, Peter. When I was diagnosed with AS, I was super anti-medication. I didn't want to be on it. I was afraid of it. And I recognized two things. For one, this huge fear of medications and potential side effects was where my conscious mind went. But like more unconsciously, I also realized that I felt very fragile. And that's one reason I was so afraid of the drugs. And the stronger I got, like the more I worked with you, the more I got on a path to wellness, the more I actually opened up a little bit more to taking medications because I wasn't so afraid of them. I felt stronger. And then you said something one time and you're like, Sky, there are millions of people all over the world who don't have access to the same drugs that you do. And so be grateful, man. Like, be grateful you have some tools at your disposal, because some people would just, you know, they would give everything in their bank account for access to some of the drugs that you are not taking. And that was really helpful, because then I was like, okay, I'm going to trust Peter on this. I'm going to start taking them. And I did. And like, I got relief and I kept doing the work, and now I don't need the drugs anymore, but I could sleep. I could walk. I could move around a little bit and not just be bracing in fear of pain all the time. That was a really, really helpful thing.
It's a godsend to get out of that situation where you feel hopeless and helpless. Yeah. And, you know, unable to do anything that you'd like to do. So you found the solution to that by empowering yourself and using what worked in the moment. Mm. So, you know, it was a path to an outcome, and that outcome was favorable. And you did what I asked you to do, and here you are.
Yeah. When my body was really out of balance, I had to take a fair amount of medication consistently. But the healthier I became, the less I needed meds. And then if a flare-up came, I could take like one small amount of naproxen, some just like over-the-counter something like Aleve, help me get through that. And then I wouldn't need any drugs for like quite a while. That little bit of help to get through a flare-up helped me not be so stressed out, helped me maintain a level of kind of cool-headedness instead of being frustrated and sad and scared. And then I wouldn't need anything for quite a while.
Yeah, you got that boost and you got things in alignment where they were working well. You know, it's important for us to point out now that we're not medical doctors and we don't give medical advice. So we're not giving people, you know, the declaration to get on drugs or get off their drugs. They'll do that in correlation with their doctors. However, over-the-counter medications can also be useful, like you just pointed out. I mean, I remember I had some, when the gyms closed back last spring because of the COVID-19 situation, I was just working out at home for a couple of months before the gyms opened back up. And when they opened back up, I went in and hit it really hard because it felt really good to be on the machines. And I was doing heavy leg press and heavy squats and such. And I pulled something in my back. And the next morning I woke up with sciatica. And I was thinking, oh, great, this again, because I had sciatica when I had AS.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I overdid it in the gym, obviously, and so I'm just going to have to do what I have to do. So I called my naturopathic doctor and let him know, and he said, you can come in for testing and treatment, and we'll do acupuncture and all these things. And I said, okay. And then I talked to a girlfriend of mine, who said, why don't you just take a naproxen or an ibuprofen? And it never occurred to me, because I don't use medications typically, you know? It never even occurred to me that I could do that. So I took an ibuprofen and the pain went away. It was gone. So I called my doctor back and said, hey, we can cancel that appointment because I'm out of pain again. So there's an example of where I didn't know what to do. I was going to go to the doctors for treatment, and just one pill over the counter remedied the situation for me. And then, of course, I was quite conscientious not to overdo it the next time in the next month I was in the gym.
Totally. Yeah, that's a good example. And your body kind of righted itself, right? So you had some sciatic pain, you took a little bit of medication, and then the problem kind of went away.
Yeah, like a miracle.
Yeah, yeah. It goes to show, I mean, the peace of mind that comes from having a little boost, as you call it, a little bit of help, that's not something to be discounted. That is actually quite a powerful tool for healing, is getting that peace of mind.
It can be totally invaluable at certain times in our lives to take us from one stage to the next in a seamless transition. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's quite useful to be able to have those options at our disposal. And like I told you before, there are millions of people around the world in pain who don't have access to these medications. So we ought to be at least grateful that we have access and can choose to or not to as we wish.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you for that conversation. I think that will be really helpful for people.
Yeah. Don't be afraid. Do what you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah, one more example I'll add to this. So last night I had two conversations with two different women back to back. One of them is a lot like I was at 25 years old, really didn't want to be on medications, really resisting that. And I had a pretty long conversation with her about that process, how that can add stress to our bodies, how it's more resistance, it's more fight energy. And so that conversation then went straight into the next. And I was talking with a woman I've been hanging out with a lot here in town who's a nurse, and she does end of life care for people. And they use quite a few drugs in that realm to help ease pain, to help do different things. And she finds drugs to be at times invaluable. You just said the word invaluable. At times, and again, with precaution, with understanding. And of course, she's more in the medical practice, which you and I are not. But it just goes to show that medications can be very helpful in different situations, and fighting the medications can certainly add stress in other situations.
It's certainly so. And then the other issues open up as well. But end of life care is often palliative, meaning just to ease their pain and comfort them as they make their transition out. For your friend who says that these medications are useful, she's right. In her situation and dealing with what she deals with on a daily basis, it's a godsend.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a difference between end of life care and acute pain and chronic pain. And so let's move this conversation a little bit into the world of dealing with chronic pain, right? Our audience with immune issues, chronic pain issues, ankylosing spondylitis. And what both you and I have learned is that some pain is okay. And you are offering one of your habits that heal today regarding stress and how stress can actually be an okay thing in our life to a certain degree.
Certainly it is. And same thing with pain. These are signals coming from the body and the body-mind complex telling us to manifest change, something wants to be addressed within us. So yeah, don't run from the pain. I mean, you may have to face some of that pain in order to get better, to get from here to there. And our lives take us on a journey where sometimes pain is inevitable, but it doesn't have to be everlasting and chronic. It can be released and it can be outgrown in different measures, in different ways, depending on what the conditions are and what the situation of the individual is. And basically what we talk a lot about here in this podcast is how root stress, or that buried stress from traumas and abnegations that occurred much earlier in our lives, has led to these conditions that medicine refers to as chronic. Now, of course, remember that chronic means that doctors and drugs do not cure it. It's chronic. So we have to be engaged up for ourselves in order to make these outcomes a reality in our lives. You know, the positive outcomes from the situations and conditions that we find ourselves in. And so that's what I do as a coach, is guide people through that process in a way that elevates their quality of life and leads them to health and healing and love, joy, and peace of mind and abundance. But sometimes you gotta go through a little bit of pain, you know? Sometimes the pain, it will stick around a little longer than you thought it would.
Yeah.
We don't really have the timetable on that cornered. Pain will leave when it's ready to leave, and what we do is get out of the way. So that's what we're teaching, and that's what works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing that I really learned from AS was how to take care of myself. I think that you probably could agree with that in your life experience. And one of the things that I've learned regarding taking care of myself is how to manage stress. What is too much? What is okay? A little bit can be a boost that helps me get things done, to prioritize, to move quickly, to have like, to hit the gas in my life, to do a couple things. Too much can start to shut me down. And I recognize now that I have different ways of dealing with those things. And that's a gift that AS taught me.
That's right. And what you just talked about is a fact for everybody in life. Everybody has stress. It's inevitable in our lives that we're going to face certain amounts of stress. But how we relate to that stress and how we perceive it is what makes the difference. There's a lot of research out there now going on that proves this very point, that it isn't the stress and the stress hormones that are to blame. It's the way we perceive those experiences internally that cause us to get stronger or to get weaker. So like you said, a little bit of stress and you can get your work done more easily. It gets you spurred on to action and you get up, jump out of bed and make things happen. There's a name for that stress. It's called eustress, E-U-S-T-R-E-S-S, eustress. And it means positive stress. It's the stress that says, it's time to get up. Let's get out of bed and get to work. Let's go, let's go. It's a form of stress. And it leads to a positive development. So yeah, eustress is a good part of our lives. And that's what we're going to talk about today in the Habits That Heal, right? It's number 24.
Yes. So today is Winslow's Habits That Heal, lesson number 24. Change your relationship to stress. Peter says, it may surprise you to know that stress is actually a necessary part of life. In certain forms, it can even be a positive force for good. It can increase our capacity to learn and achieve, and can be a clear sign that something in our lives needs to change at a fundamental level. And for many people, learning how to change their relationship to stress is the key to healing. Recognize that stress and even basic anxiety can be a gift by letting us know that something urgently needs to be addressed. Instead of trying to turn off stress or medicate ourselves out of fear and anxiety, we may need to move through it, see it as an opportunity to learn, and listen to it so we can change, grow, heal, and live an authentic life. Nice. I like this a lot. And it makes me think of kind of a fun example. When you talk about relationship to stress, Peter, you gave me an example one time of two people going skydiving. One person might be absolutely terrified. The other person might be extremely excited. And chemically, there are similar things happening. They both have adrenaline. They both have some cortisol. The big difference is in their perception of the event. Would you say that that's a good example of how two people can have a very different relationship to one example of stress, of jumping out of an airplane?
Oh yeah, you can tell. I mean, you know, for some people that would be terrorizing to jump out of an airplane. My dad was a fighter pilot who saw tours of combat, and he said he'll never jump out of an aircraft that's working. We've all heard, you know, some semblance of that, some version of that story before. But same thing on a roller coaster. For some people, you know, it'd be a cardiac arrest, and for other people, it's the most fun they've had all week. And the hormones that are involved, the so-called stress hormones, are the same in each case. Adrenaline, epinephrine, norepinephrine, and cortisol, and the others that are involved there, are the same chemicals in the bloodstream that help us feel excited or help us feel terrified. It's the same sort of thing. So when we change our perception of stress, our lives change. So that's the key to healing from stress and using it to empower ourselves instead of becoming disempowered through the stress and the things that toxic stress creates in our life. So it's necessary to understand the different types of stress and how they operate in our bodies. So we have different types of stress, like I mentioned, eustress, which is positive stress. And then we have toxic stress, which could be considered negative. And certainly in life, some toxic or troublesome stress is going to be inevitable. But we don't need to turn off the stress chemicals in our bodies in order to deal with it. Now, I know that the aptly named stress hormones often get a bad rap, but they're absolutely necessary for our health and for our bodily functions. So it's easy to demonize the chemicals, right? Cortisol, epinephrine, adrenaline, and think of them as toxic, but these are brilliant chemicals and they're essential to human health. We can't live without them. We need them for our functions. So they're not necessarily bad or wrong. And in fact, intermittent stress is a completely normal and natural part of our lives. But the key is to be aware of the places in your life where your stress has become toxic or abusive, and then change your relationship to that toxic stress. Now, how do we do that, right? People would want to know. And we do that by perceiving the stress differently. Perception is everything. And we can begin by learning to consider the stressor in our life as a challenge for us to grow from, rather than as a threat to our happiness and well-being. So then the toxic stress can evolve into a positive stress, or what the mental health practitioners refer to as challenge stress, which is different than toxic and terrifying stress. Challenge stress is a type of stress that challenges us to grow and to change for the better. And on that count, the science is very clear by now. The human body processes our so-called challenge stress differently than it does the threat stress, the toxic stress that threatens us. And of course, as I said earlier, there's even a name for a certain type of positive stress in our lives, which is really useful and even necessary for us, called eustress. So stress isn't always negative. But here's the kicker. And this is for people who have chronic pain and illness. Recent studies have shown that when we perceive ourselves as being weak or being ill, or even being less than others, as in I'm not enough, I'm less than I should be, I'm less than others, that's when the threat stress levels rise. And the solution is to learn to perceive that type of stress as positive or motivating instead of toxic and disempowering. So again, perception is everything. Now here's the payoff. How do we transform our toxic root stress into positive challenge stress? And the way we do that is by changing our perception of ourselves. So we've got to recognize that the root stress that we've encountered actually serve to make us stronger. And then we can learn to let it go and move on as we empower our self-image and move from an identity of illness to an identity of growing health and wellness. So perception is everything when it comes to stress and how we handle it. And stress often gets a bad rap, and we talk about the root stress that's at the source of our conditions. We've got to change our perception and relationship with that stress in order to heal.
I agree. It makes me think that as we change our relationship to stress, the stress itself changes. As we change our perception to stress, it gives us a different outcome. I know one simple example of that was once I started realizing that AS actually was there to teach me a couple things. Then all of a sudden, the stress from AS wasn't just the devil anymore. It wasn't just all wrong and bad. It was actually motivating me to learn and grow.
So there's a great example of changing your perception in relationship with stress, which is habit that heals number 24. So congratulations on being successful with that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, as we change our relationship to stress, the stress itself will also change. It won't be as big, it won't be as scary, or it'll serve a purpose. I did some public speaking last week, and the stress and bits of anxiety prior to that, they weren't overwhelming. I was actually really looking forward to it. And I ate better. I got more done. I took really good care of myself that week because I didn't want to lose my voice right before I had to talk to people. And that was that eustress that you're talking about. Like, I was on point. I got a lot done. And yeah, it served me really well. It was very positive. That eustress was a very positive thing in my life.
And it came naturally, didn't it? It felt good and it felt empowering.
Yes.
So that is quite different than the root stress that causes chronic conditions in the body and in the mind-body complex. Mm-hmm. So again, perceiving these things as one way or the other is what we do to empower ourselves beyond the illness, mentally at least, and beyond the disempowerment. So threat stress is when it's distressing and it's toxic to our bodies. And challenge stress is when it challenges us to get up and make a go of it, which is what you had when you did your public speaking gig. It was a challenge that you rose to the occasion and did well with. Mm-hmm. Same hormones involved in the body.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that's a really good thing to keep in mind for people. And I had a lot of that distress, that threat stress for a long time in my life. And as I continued to learn, as you mentioned before, my identity started to shift and I felt bigger. I felt stronger. I felt more empowered. And all of a sudden those threat stressors didn't weigh as much. They started to shift more into a challenge stress. Like, okay, this doesn't seem as daunting anymore. This seems like something I can probably take on.
And you did well. And by the way, that's stage one of the Winslow Way for remission and recovery, which is reverse the cause, which is that root stress at the basis of our issues. And you also employed stage two, which is repair the damage. You said you felt bigger, you felt stronger, you felt more empowered. Well, you were going to the gym and getting bigger, stronger, and more powerful at the same time. So that step was necessary to convince the doubting ego that things are actually occurring that are changing for the better in your life physically.
Mm-hmm.
So it all goes together, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's such a good and productive and successful formula for this kind of work of utilizing the brain and the body in the ways that empower us. And as you've said before, like developing the virtues of wellness instead of fighting disease, there's such a different path. And I have such good memories. Like I have such good memories of working out when I had AS.
That's incredible. That's great. That's what everybody would like to experience.
Yeah.
Fun and positive memories of working out with AS. Most people with AS are scared to even touch the weights.
Uh-huh. And I get it. I mean, it hurts. I was there. And thankfully, I had some guidance, right? I had you. I had someone to walk me through this. I don't know how much I would have done alone. I think I would have dabbled. But I mean, as you might remember, the trainers were shocked. I put on 25 pounds of lean muscle.
You're an animal.
In a very short amount of time. And
that's amazing.
And rebuilt my body and reprogrammed the brain through this, you know, through the Winslow Way. And it's possible, you know?
It's great. It feels awesome and amazing and empowering. It's a wonderful way to live a life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So congratulations. And you become a shining beacon of an example of what's possible to everybody who follows. Mm-hmm. So you are right on track, man. So our lives take us in a direction that the Eastern philosophers talk about when they desert Dharma. I think a lot of people have heard this word Dharma, and it's a Sanskrit word that doesn't really translate into the English language effectively, but the closest we can come is like it's your duty or your purpose in life, your Dharma, your life path, your duty to perform this purpose. And so you're on your path and your Dharma is clear. And so everything gets useful and productive when you stay on that path of your Dharma. And this is what AS led you to. So tell me, was it positive or was it negative?
It was extremely positive.
Now, if only we can impart this message to the thousands and millions of people who are suffering from it, we'll make the world a better place.
Yeah, yeah. And it's happening. I like that you just brought up Dharma, and we can close on this because we're about at time. When we're on our path, everything becomes useful. Like I think about people with AS all the time, and I can sit down and watch some like funny sitcom on television and be like, oh, like I will learn from it. And like, I can relate that exactly to people with AS. And sometimes I think I need to be like studying more. And I'm like, you know what? I think about these things all the time that I'm even learning when I'm watching some silly show on Netflix. I'm learning something that's going to help someone with AS. Very fun.
That's because you're on your path of Dharma and everything is making sense.
Yeah.
So the big lessons and the not so big lessons are not lost on you. You continue to pick them up. I learn a lot of what I learned just by watching human beings and talking to people.
Yeah.
So it isn't always reading a book, although I like to read books. There's a lot more in the equation than just that when it comes to following your path and being productive, useful, and engaging in your world and in your life for love, joy, happiness, wholeness, health, wealth, abundance, and peace of mind. Yeah. That's what makes a great life. Letting go of the illness is just the first step to an incredible life experience. Remember, a lot of people think that if they could just beat the pain, then they'd feel successful. And that's great. Yeah, it's empowering and it will occur that way. But it's just the beginning. It's just the open door to an incredible and inspiring life.
Yeah.
So don't lose that point.
I remember the first time you told me that. I remember the car I was sitting in and where I was parked when you were like, Sky, getting over pain is not the end goal. That's actually the beginning of a very good life. And I didn't get it, man. I was like, okay, sounds great. And I was, you know, my focus was just on getting out of pain. And now I'm like, whoa, once people develop these virtues of wellness and shift the relationship to stress and who they are and worthiness things to the point where pain falls away, then it's a whole new future for them. And that's so fun. That's why I'm so glad we're here continuing this work, because it's just invaluable.
It's on your path of Dharma.
Yeah.
And it's a fine way to live a life.
Sure is. Well, thank you, Peter. Thank you for introducing new concepts today and new concepts to me over the last couple of years. And we will continue to enjoy our lives and this kind of wisdom and sharing it.
I love it, bro. Thanks for having me on. I'm very pleased to be here.
All right, Peter. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you then.
All right, everyone. Welcome back. Now, you can understand that stress is not all bad. Medication is not all bad. I speak with people consistently who are really afraid of the side effects of medications. And I understand it. I get it. I was too. It's something that is that does warrant conversation and some level of care and awareness around. And I want all of you listeners to know that sometimes when I would finally be so beaten down by pain and have nowhere else to go but to take some medication, I would also finally get some relief. I'd be able to sleep better. I trusted that this little blue pill was going to help me feel good. And you know what? It did. And it allowed my brain to relax. It allowed me to recognize that my body was strong enough and healthy enough to actually process this medication and not have harmful side effects. And that played a very pivotal role in my ability to get where I am now. So take into account that I'm not a doctor. I love sharing from my personal experience. I love having Peter and his wisdom on the show. And again, when it comes to medications, you consult your doctor, you listen to the experts in that field that you choose to. With that, we will end it. And today marks almost exactly to the year of the production of the first episode of this show. It has grown quickly. I have absolutely loved the feedback. I was talking with someone day before yesterday who said that the show has changed their life. And so I encourage you to share it. I encourage you to keep listening. Take this wisdom with you. Implement it into your life. We have a global community, a global family here. And the more we all care for each other, I think the better we're all going to do. So, if you would like to contact me, you can contact me at skydenton.com. You can contact Peter Winslow at asvictors.com. And to see the recorded, the video versions of this, check out the YouTube channel and the Facebook page, Ankylosing Spondylitis, Reduce Your Pain. And the audio, this podcast, you can find it all over the place, iTunes, Spotify, all the major platforms. With that, everyone, I wish you all the very best, and I look forward to more episodes, a shifting of people's experiences out of pain and back into the world of play and fun. Much love, big hugs, and good vibes to you all. My name is Sky Denton, and I will speak to you very soon.